as you are to take your mind and your heart and focus on Christ, who's risen, who's conquered death, who's forgiven us our sins, who's justified us from our sin, who now rules in all authority. Paul says, you're hidden with Christ right now. Because when you walk about among the earthly things, and as you live your life and carry out your vocation, as you serve as a father, a mother, a grandparent, you do look rather ordinary. You don't look like someone who's been raised with the glorious Christ. You don't look like someone who's a son or daughter of the King ruling over all. Paul says your life is hidden in Christ. Meaning when people look at you, they only see the earthly things. They see the fragility. They see the lowliness of your body and self. But Paul reminds you, as you set your hearts and minds on Christ, your life is hidden in Him. With Him stands your inheritance. With Him stands your new standing before God. And with Him you have a connection to the one in whom you've been baptized, even though by all outward appearances you look so ordinary. Focus not on the earthly, but on the things above, where Christ is seated.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church, Payson, Arizona, April 20th, 2025, Colossians 3:1-4.
Just imagine what it would be like if you were one of those very well-off, either NBA or NFL players that had your own private personal chef. One of our members had a son who did this job once. And could you imagine how nice that would be if you could just have that prime, perfect meal, perfectly catered to your diet, everything that you need. And for those people that serve in those or work in those types of jobs as a NBA player, you need a special diet to stay at the top of your game. And you need that chef to not only make that, but make it delicious. And could you imagine having on order at your call, having such a meal? And then, even though you have your own private chef who's wonderful at their job and gives you a nutritious and delicious, wonderful meal, imagine then still deciding that you were going to call an Uber Eats driver and send them to the dollar store because you really wanted some of those, I guess they're not a dollar anymore, but those packs of crackers that cost $1.25 and have been on the shelf for about 3 months, 4 months, and nobody's touched them, that you want them to go there, dust off that cracker box, and bring it to you because you were craving some stale crackers from the $1.25 store. Just doesn't add up, does it? You have greater things at hand. Well, today we're going to consider how the Apostle Paul tells us, as the people of God, sometimes we turn to those other things and lose sight of what is at our disposal because we are baptized children of God, and we have a risen and living Savior. That's exactly what Paul's talking about as we consider God's word this morning as he writes to the Colossian Christians. He tells them, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Now we have to understand, when he's saying you've been raised with Christ, he's not talking about some future date when maybe you die and you're made alive and then you read Paul's letter. No, he means right now, we as the people of God need to recognize our standing. We have been raised with Christ. You might wonder, well, what does he mean by this, that I've been raised with Christ? Well, you only have to look a few verses earlier in the context and the rest of Scripture to understand what is meant by this. He's talking about baptism. In baptism, we have been connected to Christ and share in his death and resurrection. And Paul's saying, you have been raised with Christ. And we know this is true because Christ has risen. He, as we read earlier, yes, faced death. He suffered on behalf of sinners. And yet, just as the disciples found, he had to suffer and die and be raised on the third day. And to their amazement, they saw and they touched and they felt he was really bodily alive. And this changed everything for those who were baptized into Christ. And it changes everything for you who are baptized into the name of our triune God and in Christ. Because now in him you have been raised with Christ, meaning his victory is yours. Maybe we might set our minds and hearts on lesser things, but Paul directs our attention and he says, set your hearts, seek the things that are above, brothers and sisters, baptized believers connected to the risen Jesus. Jesus lives. And because he lives, think about that. And he goes on to say, set your minds on things that are above, not on earthly things. Sometimes, like that person who might go after some product that's far inferior to their personal chef, as I mentioned, we might find ourselves at our disposal the connection to Christ and his victory, and yet we turn to lesser things. Paul says, set your minds and hearts on Christ, who not only rose, he says, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. Think about that. When we are looking above, we're thinking about Christ, not only conquering death, but standing there with all authority, with a glorified body, at the Father's right hand, ruling over all things. Can anything get higher than that? Can our hearts seek anything greater than that? And yet, Paul says, don't get into earthly things. Now, there are two ways I want to mention that Paul initially talks about how we might get distracted by earthly things, the lesser things. And you can read a few verses before this and a few verses after. And he mentions two ways that earthly things can really be a hindrance, even pull us away from those heavenly things. One, he talks about how earthly things become for us the path to glory. Paul talks about how some people think, if I'm so focused on the things of this world, what I do will get me right with God. He says, that doesn't matter, Christian. That can't be your hope. And yet, we look at the lesser things and say, I'm really a Christian if I show up. I'm really a Christian if I avoid doing this. Or I'm really a Christian if I don't touch that. That's a lesser thing. Those things are all things that are destined to perish and tied in with our failure and our sin and our guilt. And those things cannot bring us the great glory of what we have already in Christ. When we begin to think that we, by our actions and our works, can do something great, we lose sight of the greatness of Christ who died for us. If our acts can accomplish anything, his death really was not meant to be. But Paul says, don't focus on that. You've been raised with Christ. Don't focus on the works of your own hands and what you can accomplish. Those are earthly things. And then there's a second earthly thing he warns against. Not only does he warn against getting so preoccupied with earthly matters we think we can gain for ourselves God's favor, he also says, don't look at earthly things as something that now you can take in to despise your God. Don't set your heart, don't set your mind on earthly things so that it pulls you away from the glory of Christ. Christ died. Christ rose again. He paid for our sins. How could we turn to the sins that he rescued us from, those things of this world and this earth, and cling to them and love them so much that they separate us from Christ? How could we toss aside the blessings of our baptism, the gift of his Spirit, the washing and cleansing of his gospel of forgiveness for earthly things? Paul's warning Christians in a respect to say, not only should you not focus on earthly things as a means for salvation, when you have salvation, you should not focus on earthly things as a way to now despise the gifts of God. Fellow Christian, yes, you should strive to live in the light. God has made you a child of light. Don't go back to the darkness of sin. Don't love the sin which takes hold of you, so that you are so focused on those earthly things that you lose the gift of God. Now maybe you're thinking, those two things, they're not traps for me. I'm not trying to earn salvation because I'm focused on earthly things. I'm not trying to despise God's gifts because I'm so focused on earthly things. And yet that's not necessarily Paul's point here. Those are two traps. But his point isn't so much to get rid of the earthly things. His point is, don't lose sight of what you have in heaven. You have many good earthly things, family, your possessions, things you can praise and thank God for, friends, a place to gather in His name and worship and freedom, many gifts that are touchable, tangible things that you can praise God for. And yet Paul says those aren't what you're to set your heart on. Yes, it's a blessing to have a holiday and take a fishing trip or go camping with family. It's a blessing to go on that Easter egg hunt. It's a blessing to have the time together and enjoy the blessings of this earth. But Paul says, you've been raised with Christ. Don't just focus on that to the point where you lose sight of and get distracted from something far greater. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Far greater than every earthly treasure is this. You have a king seated on a throne who intercedes for you. You're living Christ. And when these earthly things come crumbling down and you're covered with guilt and shame, there he is, your living Christ, at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. Set your minds and your heart on him who sits in authority and glory. And when it seems like this earth is crumbling because of politics or society is turning in bad directions and around and your mind is set on earthly things, forget the distractions and look at who sits in authority. Christ, your Savior. He controls the nations. He is Lord of all. All authority is His despite what the powers of this world might do. Don't just focus on those earthly powers. Think about who is yours in heaven and holds all power. And then Paul goes on. He says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Sounds rather mysterious, doesn't it? As you are to take your mind and your heart and focus on Christ, who's risen, who's conquered death, who's forgiven us our sins, who's justified us from our sin, who now rules in all authority, Paul says, you're hidden with Christ right now. Because when you walk about among the earthly things, and as you live your life and carry out your vocation, as you serve as a father, a mother, a grandparent, you do look rather ordinary. You don't look like someone who's been raised with the glorious Christ. You don't look like someone who's a son or daughter of the King ruling over all. Paul says your life is hidden in Christ. Meaning when people look at you, they only see the earthly things. They see the fragility. They see the lowliness of your body and self. But Paul reminds you, as you set your hearts and minds on Christ, your life is hidden in Him. With Him stands your inheritance. With Him stands your new standing before God. And with Him, you have a connection to the one in whom you've been baptized, even though by all outward appearances you look so ordinary. Focus not on the earthly, but on the things above, where Christ is seated. And finally, though this body is lowly now, what we celebrate today is that Jesus came out of the tomb. And not only was He bodily alive, but His body was one that was glorified, made new, free from all the earthly things. And no longer was Christ's life hidden as He veiled His glory in flesh, but His glory was revealed to all. So Paul tells you, brother and sister who are raised with Christ, who have been buried with Christ, you will live and be glorified with Christ. Paul concludes this section by saying, as he says, set your minds on things above, on Christ, where He's seated. He says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with Him in glory. Notice he doesn't say Christ who will be your life. Right now, He is your life. He is in you. He is for you. He is life right now for you. When Christ, who is your life, appears, that is, He who is seated in glory and who ascended visibly with the glorified body, He will appear again in glory. Notice how we've almost gone through the entire second half of the Apostles' Creed regarding Christ. He died. He is seated in glory and ruling at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again in glory. And when he shows his glory again, there we will see him. And your life will no longer be hidden with Christ in God, but because he lives, you will appear glorious with your risen and living God. Don't focus on earthly things. It's easy to be distracted, and sometimes, yes, we might stumble into focusing on earthly things that we can attain some favor before God instead of recognizing our great need for mercy and forgiveness. And we can focus on earthly things where we start despising God's gifts because we're falling into sin. But we can also lose sight of the greatness and the glory of Christ as we're distracted by the ordinary, by what now is hidden, the fact that you have been washed and baptized. You have been raised with Christ. And Christ, who is above, will appear again in glory. And so you can say after me, as I say, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.